Hi, I'm Carol. I'm an addict. Gary just asked me while the reading, while the pot was going around, if I was nervous, and I wasn't then, but now I am. And actually, now I've said that, it's kind of passing. So I haven't planned what I'm going to say, and I don't usually round chairs. And really, it's kind of a miracle that I can sit here and talk, because a few years ago, I just couldn't talk. I couldn't talk about myself. I couldn't answer questions. Closer. And that was kind of one of the challenges for me in recovery was... Closer. usually I like the microphone because I don't have to think about how loud I'm talking. I usually talk pretty quietly, I think, and I've had to learn to speak louder because the work I do now is a lot of group work, and so people need to hear me, and I've learnt that in these rooms. I've learnt lots of things in these rooms, and I think mostly just that it's a place for me to experiment, like with friendships and relationships, and it's a place to make mistakes. And it's a place to kind of get used to looking stupid sometimes. I don't like looking stupid, but I'm having to get used to it because I don't succeed at everything, and find failure really embarrassing, and I don't want anyone to see it. And recovery for me has been about kind of letting people share those kind of feelings and letting myself share those kind of feelings, you know, being all right with myself, not being perfect, and making mistakes and sometimes failing. And I think, you know, that's connected to how I started taking drugs, because using drugs made me feel like I was all right. And I'd never felt like I was quite all right. I always felt on the outside of groups. If I joined in with some people, I'd feel like they all turned the other way, and I was always the person on the outside. And with drugs, I was part of that. And really, most of my life, I didn't see drugs as a problem. I kind of enjoyed it. It worked for me. Kind of took that big weight off my shoulders and made it possible for me to relate to people. So I guess really I got a problem with drugs when I decided I wanted to stop, which wasn't until I was in my 40s, and I really couldn't, and I didn't like myself for not being able to, because, you know, I'd use, you know, I'd have a habit for a few years and then I'd stop. And then I'd start again because I wasn't scared of it. I thought I could always stop again because I'd stopped before. I didn't understand anything about that progressive nature of addiction. So I felt pretty safe. And my last habit kind of lasted about 16 years. And the last three of that, I didn't want to be using. I kind of struggled for a year on my own. I'd been on methadone for 12 years and I decided to stop that, and I tapered it off. And there was quite a lot going on in my life, like my mum died and my birth father, who I'd never known, tracked me down, and I'd kind of, well, fallen in love for the first time as well, and that was a bit of a disaster. So I'd been asleep, really, for years, and my way of waking up was to get back into active using. I'd been kind of stable on the methadone. And my active using, you know, became kind of, you know, crack and gear on top of the methadone, although the methadone was going down, but everything else was going up. I just then ended up planning my own death, because I couldn't stop. and I kind of truly believed the world would be a better place without me. I didn't believe anyone would be upset or I thought they'd think it was a good thing that I was out of my misery, and I thought, oh, my son will be okay because he'll get the flat and my bloke will get my video camera, so that'll be okay. And the day before I was planning to do that, I went to a drug service, and I actually got some help there. They kind of brought me back from the brink. Got acupuncture, and I started looking after my diet and feeling a bit better, but I was still using. And it took really another 2 years before I just was back in that place that, I couldn't answer the door, I couldn't open letters, I couldn't answer the phone. I couldn't stand being at home. And the only time I could go out was in the middle of the night, and I just felt like I had a spotlight on me all the time, and the world was just full of knives. It was very scary, and people's faces were just changing. Everyone looked like demons, even flowers looked like demons. It was a pretty mad place, and I just kind of shut myself in for a few months. I only went out to score, and it's kind of a miracle, and a miracle of just being human, that when it got that bad, I finally got the courage to let someone know that I needed help, and I did that, and I'd go along to these appointments, and I couldn't speak. I was like a really nightmare client who just sat there and either, cried or just stared at the floor. And the only thing I could say was, if I don't go to rehab, I'm going to kill myself. And I did get my funding and I did get treatment. I spent 9 months in treatment. It wasn't 12-step. But I learned a lot about myself, and I did get healthy. And, I got to kind of focus on some things I wasn't aware of. And I discovered that I was really scared of talking. I completed the treatment and came back to London, and I came to NA because I didn't have anywhere else to go. I kind of didn't think it was a good idea. I thought, the God thing scared me. And there'd been a few visits in the rehab from the people, and I thought they were nuts. They were happy, and they could, just the idea that they could be, I thought, well, they can't be having very good lives if they've got time to come out and talk to us. I just couldn't imagine it. I used to look at my key worker, and I knew that she'd kind of been in the same places that I'd been in, because she had loads of really deep healed scars on her arm. I never really asked her about it, but I'd just see her arriving for work, and I just think, how did she get from there to where she is now? Looking normal, and driving a nice car and having a job and caring about other people. I couldn't imagine myself. Well, I couldn't imagine the process of getting from where I was to where I wanted to be, just in this normal functioning person. And I think what I saw was that she had some kind of peace inside of her. And it just seemed out of my reach, even after 9 months in treatment. So I kind of came to NA in desperation. I came to my first meeting when I was on a visit, and someone gave me their phone number, and when I was coming back a few weeks later for good, I rang that phone number and met someone, went to a meeting, and I just kind of got held. That woman became my sponsor. And I got commitment straight away, and I still just felt like a complete outsider. People would say, well, you need to go for coffee, and I'd kind of trudge after people for coffee, and I felt like a wanker, really. But I just kept doing it because because I knew where I'd go back to, and I was willing to kind of do anything that I could do to not go back there. And what people said was to work the steps, to go to meetings, to do service, to pray. And at first praying would just, it would kind of revolt me, like my stomach would turn when I was doing it, but I'd just keep doing it. And then the world just started looking a little brighter, like little patches of it would look better. And now really, I suppose, all those little good patches have joined up. So you know, my whole world is kind of brighter. And that's been through working the steps. Each step, it's like some of that weight has fallen off me. And some days now, I don't feel weighed down. I was going somewhere different with that, and now I'm thinking I'm nearly finished. I suppose I can kind of step outside and look at myself now, and I kind of look a bit like that key worker. And you know, that's kind of a miracle, because it's been a few years. And I can see all the things that I've had to do in between for that to happen. But in a way, it's just been one little step at a time, a little building blocks building up to a place. You know, I've never felt like this in my life. You know, when I was a kid, you know, this is a new life for me. I'm 50, and it's like I've got a whole new life to enjoy and explore. And that's amazing, and I've got that from this fellowship and from the people in it, and yeah, so here's where I say I'm grateful, and I'll just end it there. Thank you. Thank you.